Today on your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris, we're going to identify who might be detracting from us in our lives and causing high cortisol levels because they're causing stress. Good relationships keep us healthier. They keep us happier. Control what you can control. Focus on only controlling your efforts and your actions. We don't have time for the people who are detracting from us and making us feel anxious because life is too short and we've got to make every moment count. Hey everyone, it's Samantha Harris. I'm an Emmy-winning journalist and TV host from shows like Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. But a breast cancer diagnosis at age 40 changed everything. The wake-up call I didn't realize I needed. Now, a certified health coach and the author of a number one best-selling wellness book, I'm fiercely dedicated to guiding you to elevate your well-being in ways you may not have realized you could or even should. Don't worry, it's with small, manageable steps to mitigate chronic disease and live vibrantly with unparalleled energy. This is your Healthiest Healthy podcast. Hello, hello, your Healthiest Healthy community. What is up? I'll tell you what's up. We're nixing the toxic relationships today. We're going to set some boundaries. We're going to identify who might be detracting from us in our lives and causing high cortisol levels because they're causing stress, right? Toxic relationships do that to us. So here's the deal. It's not just about nixing the toxic relationships and identifying who is detracting from our lives and adding stress to it, but also how do we build resiliency? Look, as a breast cancer thriver, resiliency has been the key and is the key to a survivor and thriver's mindset. So how do we build that resiliency? And how do we surround ourselves with a positive support squad? For those of you who have read my book, you know I talk a lot about building a positive support squad and positive self-talk, positive mindset. So that is what we're going to dive into today. And I'm really glad that you're here with me and you're doing something great for you today because you are expanding your health and wellness. So first of all, I want to talk a little bit about what I call positive Pollies and negative Nellies. Now, we know that we have both of those in our lives. And sometimes the positive Pollies almost can, in a weird way, be negative Nellies. I know that as an I am a naturally born positive Polly. Sometimes I can actually be a negative Nelly for other people. I hate to even put that out there and admit that, but I know when I go into certain people's homes, some of my family, and all I want to do is take the Skippy peanut butter out of my mom. Oh, did I just totally throw my mom under the bus? Out of my mom's cabinet. And I want to say, don't do this filled with high fructose corn syrup and hydrogenated oils and fake stuff and not even organic peanuts. Because by the way, if you do eat peanut butter or any peanuts at all, always make sure they're organic because there's a mold called aflatoxin that can build on the peanuts when they're in storage and in transit. And it can lead to cancers and all a host of all other yucky things. But I know, again, tangent, I love these sidebars. But the point is that sometimes I know that I have to stop myself because I have so much knowledge when it comes to wellness that I want to make everybody well. It's my life's purpose. It is my mission. And sometimes that can be overwhelming to people. So I'm not saying I'm a negative Nelly to my mom. She loves me. But there are people who might be like, oh gosh, there comes Samantha again. What's she going to tell me about to be healthy and how do I healthify, right? So also being able to acknowledge when you might be that role to someone and how you might need to alter your approach or your interaction with those people. Now, let's talk about friendships for a second in general. Apparently I need a little more smoothie to get me going. I did have a nice big smoothie today. All right, so research suggests that when we have strong social relationships or a group that we feel we can be a part of, then, and that group helps us to be more active, we also then have that group help us live longer. I'm so excited. For those of you who haven't heard of the Blue Zones, and I know, again, sidebar, the Blue Zones is a whole research project that researches the people in the world who are the longest lives, the areas of the world with the most centenarians, people who live over 100. Dan Buettner is the author of the Blue Zones books. He can talk about that. But the point of me bringing up the Blue Zones is of the about 9 checked off items that we want to have that would basically let us know that we're going to have a longer life. Strong social connections are a really big part of that. But if they are toxic and they're detracting, well, then that's actually not doing us any good, right? So there's actually, talking a little further in terms of these strong connections and long lives, there's a Harvard study that showed that the commercial projection of a good life, right? Wealth, fame, great career success, whatever else, actually won't bring those people health and happiness, right? It's the work that people put into maintaining connections with other humans that will actually bring longevity. And good relationships keep us healthier, they keep us happier. The social connections are so good for us, right? Loneliness kills. It truly does. It's why when you see the studies of the people who have, you know, are married and they have that significant other or a best friend who maybe they live with into old age, they tend to, spouses specifically when they've been studied, that if they have a good relationship, they actually do tend to live longer than widowers. And people who have strong social connections to, whether it's family, friends, community, are happier, physically healthier as well, and they live longer of those people who are than those people who are not connected. So it's really, though, it's not about, you know, look, we live in this world of social media and we're like, ooh, how many likes do I have? How many followers do I have? How many friends do I have? That's all BS. You know that, right? I'm talking to a smart group. I know you guys got that. But yet, somewhere deep in our mindset, we have this lurking, right? That we have to have more friends. We have to have this huge number of people. When it comes to those who want to live just a long, happy, healthy life, it's about the quality of your close relationships that matters. We need affection. We need less stress. We need to be living in warm relationships that are protective, good relationships. And good relationships are the kind that are secure in the place that you can count on one another, the physical and the mental protection, right? And that protects the brain. And it's interesting that these studies talk about mental protection in these relationships, right? Because there is that whole, right, because those who are the detractors, the toxic relationships, and that could be a spouse, that could be a parent, that could be a sibling, that could be a best friend. Right? Not just, and then there's those moms at school, you know, the kind, yeah, we'll talk about them later. That could be the detractors. And we need them to protect us, not just physically, but mentally, those good relationships. So quality and intimacy, as well as stability and consistency, really matter as well. So we have the casual relationships, right? Like the ones we make on social media. And some of those, I will say, I have made a couple of really good friends, and we connected initially through social media. So it's not to say that social media can't forge those amazing relationships, but when it's just sort of the generic friends on social media, they're not the ones that are going to help you live longer or happier or healthier. And neither are the contentious relationships, like an abusive marriage or an unreliable friend. And I have a couple of great articles that I'll make sure that I add as well into the links when I post. There's a TED Talk and a Washington Post article that are really good about that. I want to tell you a little bit more about the Blue Zones because, again, I just find that they're really phenomenal, a really phenomenal sort of way to think. So social connections are a really big part of the Blue Zones. For the people in those countries who live the longest, right, to 100 or more, and there's only one in the United States, and that's actually Loma Linda, California. And the reason that's even on the list of the Blue Zones is because it actually has the largest population of Seventh-day Adventists, and their lives, the way they live their lives, actually subscribe to a lot of these really key points, social relationships and community among them. Here's the checklist, and you guys can write this down. You can like maybe just make hash marks to see how many checks you get. So those who live the longest in these studied Blue Zones get at least 7.5 hours of sleep per day every week. And I'm assuming that's like pretty solid uninterrupted sleep. I'm not saying you can't get up to go potty, but potty. My kids are like, I'm 13 and I'm 10 and we don't need to call it potty anymore. Whatever, I still call it potty. These people also get at least 4 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. Most of them have to have a plant-based diet or a foundation of that, maybe some wine, and meat really only 4 or 5 times a month, if that, and smaller portions, no bigger than a deck of cards. Beans tend to be a cornerstone of a lot of the centenarians' life and their healthy diet. And then a handful of nuts. Super interesting study, and I don't know if this has been cross-studied by other, other studies and confirmed, but said that a handful of nuts, raw, organic, a handful of nuts 5 times a week makes you live longer. Now, my guess is that, I don't know if that controlled for other aspects of life, but maybe those people who are eating the nuts are also exercising and eating more plants. But either way, throw in that little handful of nuts. And then also having smaller amounts of food as the day goes on. So perhaps your biggest meal being that first meal of the day. Doesn't have to be breakfast at 7 a.m., especially for those of you who are intermittent fasting. It could be your first meal at noon, but then the meals get smaller. And the people also tend to pre-plate. I know this is about nixing toxic relationships. Why are we talking about the blue zones? Because I'm fascinated by it. But all of these are the characteristics that add into the relationships. They also, when it comes to diet, tend to pre-plate rather than eating buffet style, right? Because that helps give a better idea, clear picture of how much you're consuming. These people also who live this long, they don't smoke. They don't have unsafe sex. That leads to a lot of diseases. They are part of a community, oftentimes a faith-based group that they attend 3 times a week or more. But also private personal prayer. A meditation also can work equally for those who aren't of a devout faith. The community of faith also tends to connect these people a lot. But connection is another box where you can name at least 4 good friends who you can always count on. And oddly, 3 or fewer puts 8 years less of life expectancy onto your life, according to these Blue Zone studies. Committed relationships tend to lengthen life. Keeping kids around, right? You see these cultures, Okinawa, Japan is one of the countries that's on the Blue Zone list. And we see in certain cultures where the grandparents live in the same home as the grandkids. And there's this amazing connection when the kids are around and it helps lengthen the life. And then keeping a tribe or a social network of like-minded people who also have a healthful lifestyle. What? Your healthiest, healthy community. That is it. Sorry, I just went weird on you. But that's also a really big thing, right? So right now, just us being here together, right? We together are that community for each other. We can support each other, encourage each other. If you found yourself hang around with like...
Are all the vitamins you're taking actually what your body needs, or are there others you should be taking but don't realize? What if your supplements got personal, like tailor-made for your individual needs? See, I got totally fed up with buying a mishmash of random vitamins and other supplements I just assumed I might need because other people or social media influencers said I needed them. One size fits all doesn't work for anyone when it comes to what's best for our unique biology. So I got really excited when I found a simple tool backed by complex science and powered by a sophisticated algorithm that allows me to get personalized nutrition recommendations. It's called Meology, and it delivers these recommendations precisely for you, not people like you, for you, with more precision, more power, more patents, and more proof than any of the competition. Want to take the quick health assessment to see your personalized recommendations? It's free. Just go to tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha and take it for free. That's tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha. Before cancer and sitting in the makeup chair every day for my TV shoots, I had no idea how many carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, and neurotoxins were lurking in the beauty products being used on my face and body, and same with my at-home routine. After cancer and tons of research and vetting products and brands, I finally discovered one that became my absolute favorite. And it gives me the look and staying power I need without the toxic junk. Now I want to share it with you. It's called Crunchy, and they've set a new standard for cosmetic safety and are redefining the beauty industry where high performance, product safety, and sustainability meet for unprecedented cosmetic results. You no longer have to compromise your beauty for your health or your health for your beauty. Just visit crunchy.com/Samantha Harris. That's crunchy with an I, crunchy.com/Samantha Harris.
So have this wonderful group of girlfriends, but they're the group of girlfriends who, instead of going for, you know, hikes together or walks together, they're always meeting for happy hour, greasy food, lots of drinking. That actually detracts from life. So really trying to find a social network, a group of people who you can connect with who have healthful habits. Because people who are, when you're surrounding yourself with people who are constantly drinking heavily, eating fattening foods, who maybe have, maybe some people who have depression or really stressed friends, that bleeds into you. And that's gonna be part of this nixing the toxic relationships. It doesn't mean you have to get rid of people you care about, but it does mean that you have to acknowledge and perhaps create some boundaries. Another couple, last two big blue zone, like hashtags to be able to, hash marks to be able to check off your list to ideally try to live this long life. Being able to write on a piece of paper or say one sentence that states your purpose, your life's purpose, your reason for being. Why are you here? What do you want to do with your life? And that's a big one. That's heavy. And we can do a whole coaching session on that one. And then the other major part of it is, again, at least 30 minutes of physical activity per day. Moving naturally, though, it doesn't mean that you have to be, according to the blue zones, it doesn't mean you have to be killing it in a hardcore cardio class, you know, every single day for 30 minutes or more. It does mean, though, that you're moving your body. A lot of these cultures, again, these centenarians, they're out there at, you know, 90 years old chopping wood still, walking from home to a local farmer's market and back, you know, working in their garden, doing a lot of natural movements that just keeps them moving. We tend, especially in America, right, we're sitting in our desk, we're sitting in our car, we're sitting on our couch and Netflixing, right? We so easily could never... Amazon delivers like that, Whole Foods next day, or same day, right? We don't have to even get out of our bed to go shop and get our food anymore. So we can become incredibly unhealthy because of all of that. So when it when we are talking about those relationships, how do we know the difference between the positive Pollys and the negative Nellies? And on the surface, it seems very obvious, but I'm going to kind of break it down. Positive Pollys, they're the ones who answer your text in a timely manner, who show up for you, who encourage you and energize you. They're the ones who know when to laugh with you and when to cry with you. Do you have those friends? Do you have those people in your, and by the way, they can be relatives. It can be a sibling or a parent that also fulfills this purpose for you. And then the negative Nellies, they're the ones who don't answer the text in a timely manner, like pretend like they don't even ever see it. They're the ones who make every conversation about them, who perhaps knock down your moments of triumph or switch the topic the moment you share something triumphant with them. They're the people who tend to breed anxiety, who maybe you leave that conversation with them, whether it's, you know, a mom at school or a family member, where you leave the conversation, your shoulders are up at your ears, and you just feel like you have that shallow breathing and you're not feeling awesome. They're the people, the negative Nellies, they're the people who just plain old suck at making plans and or making them and then keeping them. Or you're the one who always has to go out of your way to go to that person's side of town or make all the effort to make the plans. These negative Nellies tend to take more than they give. And I'm going to just asterisk this by saying there are life takers and there are life givers, right? The life takers suck the energy out of you. They give you that anxiety. And the life givers are constantly reinvigorating you, making you smile, making you laugh, loving you, sharing the love, showing the love. The life takers, those negative Nellies, they're also talking behind your back or not supporting you when you really need it. Or this is a big one. They're the person who make you feel less than. We don't have time for that. And for my Thriver sisters out there, whether you're thriving from cancer or any other life challenge that came your way, you know how this is. We don't have time. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for the people who are making us feel less than. We don't have time for the people who are detracting from us and making us feel anxious, because life is too short. And we've got to make every moment count and be surrounded by people who love us, who we love, and who bring us joy. So you want to surround yourself with those life givers who are going to give you joy, bring you health and wellness. And you, in turn, are going to support them. So we need to identify and confront and then ultimately say bye-bye to that toxic relationship. And it can be, even though sometimes really hard to get to and sometimes painful to go through, it can be one of the most freeing and empowering things you'll ever do. It might be that person who always nags you not to work out, but to meet her for drinks, for happy hour. Not to say that there isn't a time and place for that happy hour. I'm not bagging on happy hour. I don't know why I keep using that as an example. But these negative vibes that negative Nellies tend to bring are literally contagious. There's actually something called the emotional contagion theory. And as humans, we're all wired to mimic the physical and social cues from the people around us. And this is why you feel maybe depressed or low after having a conversation or hanging out with someone who's always complaining or bitching all the time, right? And then you just feel drained. In my book, I have something called the negativity quiz. Maybe I'll try to see if I can screenshot that and upload it. But the negativity quiz, it really just sort of helps you assess who is perhaps creating this toxicity in your life. But you don't even have to have that quiz, because I'm going to give you some of these questions now. And after each of these questions, and maybe write down the answer or think to yourself, okay, how would I answer this? And these are some of the questions in that negativity quiz. With this particular person who you're trying to assess, are you always walking on eggshells? Does your heart sink or flutter in a negative way when you see that that person is home when you're coming home, or at school when you're arriving to school or work? Do you often, again, pause after each of these questions if you need to, do you often feel nervous of the reaction that this person is going to have to something that you say or do? Do you seem to be the one making all the effort? Do you feel really stressed or anxious, or even maybe that queasy, uneasy feeling after you've talked to this person or while you've been around that person? And I know I'm going through a lot of questions here, but this is why I want you to take your time to pause this later. Do you seem to be always in a conflict position or fighting with this person? Does everything have to be ultra dramatic almost all of the time? Do you find that this person is trying to control things, whether it's things you're doing, people you're seeing, how you're acting, how you're dressing? Do you feel drained mentally, physically after being together? Is this a person who always seems to keep score? Perhaps bring something up later on that happened a while back in terms of keeping score? Do you realize that this particular friend leaves you feeling worse after spending time with that person? That kind of goes into that category of feeling less than, right? Do you find reasons to avoid spending time with this friend or family member or significant other, or wanting to cancel plans once you've agreed to make them? Just a couple more thoughts. Is this a friend who only seems to like you or want to spend time with you when they need something from you? And the last question I'm going to pose to you is, and this tends to really be much more in relationships sometimes where a significant other does this, but does your significant other or friend try to isolate you from other relationships in your life? And I remember this happened a lot in junior high. So if this is happening with a girlfriend, this is junior high behavior. Do you remember you had that group of friends and then there was the one other girl you liked? Maybe she wasn't in that other group of friends that you were with most of the time, but you really liked this girl over here. But that group of friends was like, yeah, no, we don't want you to hang out with that girl. And maybe you did because junior high, we're not so confident with ourselves and we're trying to figure life out and navigate. And maybe that would have been the actual better friend to have. Well, now we're adults. Now we can manage this stuff and we can figure it out for ourselves. Again, back to the thing I was talking about with the peanut butter at my mom's house. So maybe there's time you're the one breeding negativity. Negativity creates anxiety. So what we're saying, how we're saying it, or anything that we say that can put the other person down, those are kind of three ways. So, you know, I'm going to go back to the peanut butter example. Instead of me saying to my mom, oh gosh, mom, are you still using Skippy peanut butter? Perhaps instead, I can say that in a different way, right? How I'm saying it and what words I'm using. So perhaps I see you sell Skippy. I have this amazing other peanut butter I would love for you to try. I think you might like it. Now, she obviously is going to probably figure out trying to get her to switch her peanut butters. But still, it's about how you're saying it, because then it's coming from a place of support and love. Remember, friendship is a relationship of choice. That also goes to intimate relationships. They're relationships of choice, which implies an expectation of reciprocity in that relationship. So if you're the one who's always giving and you're not getting it back, not that you have to get it back all the time, you know, and some that there's, and with any good relationship, there's always an ebb and flow, especially in intimate relationships, right? There's sometimes where you're the giver, and maybe that goes on for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but then you have to also be able to have it back. So how do we have the conversation, right, when we have to have that conversation? So perhaps, again, this friend might not know what's going on, might not see it coming. We want to, like, avoid any shrapnel that might come from it. So let your friend know that you'd like to discuss the relationship, and to avoid sort of springing the conversation on this person, give some advance notice. Really just say, I have something really important I want to discuss with you, however you want to say it. When's a good time? Because also you want to choose a time and a place that works well for both of you. So if it's a friend and not someone who lives within your own household, then you want to try to choose a place ideally that is public, maybe a coffee shop, because then you have a better chance of keeping the conversation a little more chill. People keep themselves in check and it's less likely to result in sort of a loud emotional response. And then sort of, you know, psychology 101, but, or therapy 101, but using I statements instead of you statements, right? You want to really focus on how you are feeling and thinking in response to your friend's behavior. So you want to be able to say, you know, when I make plans with you, I'm hurt that they seem to be broken often, or, you know, rather than you break plans with me all the time. Of course, it's going to put someone on their heels. But also listen, give the time. My husband loves to say you have two ears and one mouth. Use them accordingly. It can be taken in many different ways, depending on how you say it. But after we've said what we need to say, we need to listen to what your friend has to say as well. Your concerns have been expressed, and now it's your time to listen. Because again, they may not have realized the effect of their behavior on you. And then maybe this is a great opportunity to work towards a compromise. Look, healthy relationships usually involve compromise, adjusting to the other person's needs and wants and them adjusting to yours. And so friendships are really no different than these, you know, intimate relationships, right? It takes two to make it work. And you have to be willing to give a little in order to get a little. So that's something. Now, if your friend does not agree with your perspective and you want to go into this conversation preparing yourself for that outcome, you also may want to maybe reassess your assessment, reassess your assessment of what your objective objection was, right? And have this assessment be as objective as possible. And it is hard to pull ourselves out of the situation and sort of look at it from above and say, okay, am I being reasonable? Maybe I'm being too sensitive. But also give yourself the grace to know that you need to take care of you, because you want to make sure that you're getting everything that you need, but also giving it for the other person. But if you feel that it is time to cut the cord, right? That person, it's just like it's hitting a wall. They don't understand. They don't want to get it. They don't want to make it better. They don't want to compromise. They think they're all completely right all the time, and it's all you. Then maybe perhaps this is the time to cut the cord. So a couple things. First of all, don't just sort of flake out or ghost, as the kids say, right? Because it's really ineffectual to just disappear. It's not confronting it, dealing with it, and letting it go. That feeling of release isn't going to be there. Don't hide behind family or work obligations. It just complicates things. Oh, yeah, no, I really do want to get together, but I can't because I have a work thing. It just basically is pushing it to a future conversation anyway. And then weigh your sort of breakup speech very carefully. You want to make it, this is a situation where you do want to make it about you and not them. It's me, it's not you. But be very direct, yet kind. Your honesty actually could be maybe a parting gift. I mean, even if your relationship is not going to continue, that friend or soon to be former friend may actually benefit. Hey, do you guys know the saying, I sneezed on the truth? So there you go, I sneezed on the truth. But perhaps that friend or relationship will benefit for future relationships that they are going on to have. And then what you wanna do, oh yeah, you wanna get real with your girls. You want to really reinforce your positive support squad. And also look to join uplifting communities, which you're already part of here, but perhaps there are other ones. You know, I have a wonderful client who joined a hiking group. You know, there's like-minded people who want to get out in fresh air and nature and exercise. Perhaps there's some sort of community service or charity that you can become part of that does work. And then that's a community. So always something to have that positive support squad and understanding that not one person can fill all the buckets, right? Your spouse or significant other, they can't give you all of the five love languages and they can't fulfill every little bit. Where you go for intimacy and support and strength might be different from where you go for laughter and camaraderie, right? So we want to find, same thing with communities, perhaps communities that fill the different buckets. And actually there was a study that was done a few years back that found that the more groups that you're a part of, I mean, actively a part of, including family and friends, the happier we feel. Our communities give us this incredible strength and the support to survive so many of life's challenges. So how do we reinforce positivity?
Do you feel like you often put yourself at the bottom of the to-do list, or self-care just barely means a hot bath, perhaps an occasional workout, or maybe a chair massage at the mall? How does this sound instead? Let's meet up for 4 days at a blissful sanctuary surrounded by stunning red rock mountains. It's perfect for those craving a break from the chaos of everyday life to get you back on the road to your healthiest healthy yet. And while we're together, you'll get personal coaching from me. We'll grab some epic hikes for all levels, eat delicious healthy meals together. You'll get pampered at the spa, enjoy yoga and invigorating fitness classes, all included at a spectacular resort in Utah. It's the wellness retreat you've been waiting for, but just haven't yet taken the time to gift yourself. It's transformational, restorative, and so much fun. So join me. It's my exclusive Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat, Utah, this October. I have limited spots for this ladies-only small group wellness getaway, so hurry and visit tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. Because it's the Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat. So that's tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. See you there.
All right, we're going to shift a little bit here into that positive mindset. So essential, so important. So when we foster a positive mindset, it means that having a perspective that's positive overall. Acceptance, resiliency, gratitude, mindfulness, they are all part of a positive mindset, okay? So, and I want to say that one again because I think that's really important, all right? And here's why. And these are really great ones to perhaps even write down, okay? So I'm just going to say this again. When we are fostering a positive mindset, we want to find acceptance, resiliency, gratitude, mindfulness. They are all a huge part of this positive mindset. And now another important aspect of positivity is realistic optimism, right? Which is believing that you will succeed while recognizing that there are possible challenges ahead. So these realistic optimists see both the negative and the positive, right? They're realists. They take action steps to make success happen because they believe that success doesn't happen to them, that we control our own future. We have to take that positive step. We need to make and take control, not wait around for things to happen to us. So I want to get into how do we create that positive mindset, that resiliency. All right, here are my key tips for that. First of all, practicing a positive mindset with positive self-talk. So practicing positive self-talk, this is something that I know for me has become a really great tool in a positive mindset. One of the best, I think. It helped me get through cancer. It helped me get through earthquakes in LA, and it's helped me get through COVID. So when we do positive self-talk, here's cancer examples. Okay, I have cancer. Okay, what do I do now? What do I do now? Okay, well, what's good in this? What's good in this? It's cancer. What's good in this? Okay, I have a great team of doctors. Awesome. Okay, Samantha, keep talking. What else is positive? I have great health insurance. I have an amazing support network. I caught it early. I have a great prognosis. I have a roof over my head and healthy food to nourish me when I'm recovering, right? So the more you talk out loud about what's positive, with COVID, as the anxiety set in the first couple of days when we got shut down here in LA, I went, oh my gosh, how long are we gonna be here? What am I gonna do? And then I remembered I have this amazing arsenal of tools for positivity and a positive mindset and resiliency. Let's dig into them. All right, what's positive about COVID? I get to spend more time with my family that normally, especially with my oldest going off to middle school, hitting puberty, going through all that life change, I get to keep her closer for a little longer. I get to spend time with my 10-year-old. My husband and I both get to work from home and see more of each other. That's a great thing. What else is great? We live in a house that has space, where there are families who live in a place during COVID where they only have one or two rooms to be in. We have space and a yard. We don't really feel that shut in. That's positive. What, right? So, and the more you start all this positive self-talk, it gets on this like awesome train that takes off, and the chugga 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 chugga, and it keeps going. And so the next tip I have is really to stop the negativity spiral. And in order to stop the negativity spiral, we have to throw a wrench into what I call the anxiety engine. So same thing with the chugga 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 of the positive self-talk, that negativity spiral, that anxiety engine, it just starts to whirl and whirl and whirl, and it takes on a life of its own. So we need to stop it cold. How do we do that? All right, so we have to slow ourselves down. We need to recognize our anxiety. And when we can recognize the anxiety, we can often stop that negativity spiral before it even begins, and definitely before it begins to get out of control. So what do we do for that? All right, well, we start small. Go for a walk, get out in nature. This is when breath work is really helpful. Deep belly breaths, diaphragmatic breathing, meditation, yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, any of those that really bring that mind-body awareness. What it does is you are actively choosing to shut down that sympathetic fight or flight nervous system and activate the parasympathetic rest, digest, relax state. Because you can. We have that control, which is amazing. The self-talk, that positive self-talk comes into that as well. We can actually change our brain. We can train the brain to like basically be retrained to loop in a less reactive way. So the ways that we train the brain to act in a less reactive way, first, we want to acknowledge the feeling, right? We don't want to push everything back and go, oh, I'm not going to deal with this, because it's going to still come forward. So how do we do this? We want to acknowledge what that feeling is. And if it's present, if there's negative self-talk that's happening, acknowledge it. It's sort of like when you're learning to meditate and I'm like, clear the brain, stop thinking, and then thought, right? Keeps pelting you. We have to teach ourselves to go, okay, I see that you're here, thought. I'm gonna let that go and I'll deal with that later. Okay, I see you thought, great, cool, there's a thought, let it go. So same thing here. If there's negative self-talk or negative thoughts in general, acknowledge the feeling and then let it go. And then shift the mindset. Focus on the good things. Small, large. This is where gratitude journal is really helpful. Finding the little gratitudes. You know, hearing the birds chirp. Seeing a butterfly fly by. Those are nice and small gratitudes. So the big ones. I'm happy to have an income. I'm happy to have great food on my table. I'm grateful to have a wonderful family, to be strong, to be able to use my body, to have all my appendages, right? Whatever it is, the more you also talk about that, and whether it's you're journaling it, thinking it, or saying it out loud, it makes a big difference in shifting your mindset, focusing on those good things. Also finding the humor. That's another big thing, is finding humor in things. It's one of the greatest techniques my husband has in terms of dealing with the kids when things are stressful and the anxiety is going and the tension in the house starts to build. He breaks it with humor. I'm still learning how to figure that out as much as he has it, because he's just a natural. But when you can find it, it's really helpful. And then also ask yourself, what can you learn from the situation? Right? We all grow, whether it is, you know, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, you know, getting stuck in traffic and feeling anxious. What can you learn? Stuck in traffic, I guess I should have left a little earlier. That's what I learned for next time, right? So it can be little small things that you've learned to really big things, like changing how I was eating and what kind of makeup I was using, because I don't want to get cancer again, right? So what can we learn from the situation? And then another really great part is to take positive action. So taking positive action can be as simple as getting some fresh air and going for a walk to clear your head and focus on being present. It could mean reaching out to someone who is a positive support for you, doing something that brings you joy in the moment. Now that could mean I love blasting one of my favorite songs and just dancing around the room, spontaneous dance party, belting out a Broadway tune. Okay, I'm going to my things. Perhaps it's drinking your favorite cup of tea. Whatever it is that helps you connect with joy and positivity. And then really you may find it easier to reverse, you know, the first two steps. If it's easier to take a walk and then go ahead and reduce the negativity. Point is practice. See what works for you to lighten your mental load. And then when it's necessary, fake it till you make it, right? And that's with affirmations. Sometimes you create an affirmation for yourself that you don't quite believe yet, but the more you say it, the more you fake it till you make it, you end up believing it. So, you know, I am healthy. That was right after my diagnosis. I said, I am cancer free. I didn't really believe it wholeheartedly yet. I had the surgery and I felt like it was out of my body, but I still didn't really believe it. But the more I said it, I faked it till I made it. And I feel now wholeheartedly energized, healthy, fit, and happy. And that's what I want for all of you as well. So stay present. Tackle your concerns when you need to address them. But this is what I like to say, worry when you have to worry. This is one I kind of shifted a little bit into, and I know this is getting long, so I think what I might do is a part two of this. But basically, because now we're going into how to deal with anxiety, but that's also part of building that positive mindset, right? Reducing your anxiety. So I'm going to leave you on a couple last tips. Worry when you have to worry. And if you've heard me say this before, you're going to hear me say it again and again. Worry when you have to worry. We tend to tackle our concerns all the time, when 90% of the time, they never actually materialize. So only tackle those concerns when you really need to address them. but don't spend your whole day worrying about something that's looming in the future that might likely will never happen. Control what you can control. Focus on only controlling your efforts and your actions. You can't control other people, so put that aside right now. You're like, you know what? I just want him to be kinder. I just want her to pick up the phone more often and call me. You can't control that, but you can control how you react to it, and you can control what you're putting out there, or perhaps shifting to who you're going to spend your energy and your time on. Sending lots of happiness your way. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And remember, choose happy.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Samantha Harris, The King's Daughter, Inc., YourHealthiestHealthy.com or Samantha-Harris.com and its signatories, all known as Company, is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions provided by guest experts or hosts featured within a website or on this episode of Your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris are their own, not those of Samantha Harris or the company. Accordingly, Samantha Harris and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on such information or opinions. This podcast is presented for exploratory purposes only. Published content is not intended to be used for preventing, diagnosing, or treating a specific illness. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Thank you.